I assume with good reason.
Well, Sarah said, hoping that would end it. The labs on Jimmy Powell came in, Nellie said, still eyeing Sarah. And the mail, she added, dropping a stack of letters on top of the in-basket. The plastic bowed under the added weight. Sarah sighed as she read over the facts. On a good day, she diagnosed earaches and sore throats. Today, she would have to tell the parents of a 12-year-old boy that he had acute myoblastic leukemia. Not good, Nellie guessed. She had worked at the clinic long enough to know how to read a lab report. No, Sarah agreed, rubbing her eyes. Not good at all. She sat back in her chair, asking, The Powells are at Disney World, right?
For his birthday,
Nellie said. They should be back tonight. Sarah felt a sadness come over her. She had never gotten used to delivering this kind of news. Nellie offered,
I can schedule them for first thing in the morning.
Thanks, Sarah answered, tucking the report into Jimmy Powell's chart. She glanced at the clock on the wall as she did this and let out an audible gasp. Is that right? She asked, checking the time against her watch. I was supposed to meet Tessa at lunch 15 minutes ago. Nellie checked her own watch.
This late in the day? It's closer to supper time.
It was the only time I could make it, Sarah said, gathering charts together. She bumped the inbox and papers fell onto the floor in a heap, cracking the plastic tray.
Crap, Sarah hissed.
Nellie started to help, but Sarah stopped her. Aside from the fact that Sarah did not like other people cleaning up her messes, if Nellie somehow managed to get down on her knees, it was doubtful she would be able to get back up without considerable assistance. I've got it, Sarah told her, scooping up the whole pile and dropping it on her desk. Was there anything else? Nellie flashed a smile.
Chief Tolliver's holding on line 3.
Sarah sat back on her heels, a feeling of dread washing over her. She did double duty as the town's pediatrician and coroner. Jeffrey Tolliver, her ex-husband, was the chief of police. There were only 2 reasons for him to be calling Sarah in the middle of the day, neither of them particularly pleasant. Sarah stood and picked up the phone, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Somebody better be dead.
Jeffrey's voice was garbled, and she assumed he was using his cellular phone.
Sorry to disappoint you, he said. Then, I've been on hold for 10 minutes. What if this had been an emergency?
She started shoving papers into her briefcase. It was an unwritten clinic policy to make Jeffrey jump through hoops of fire before he could speak to Sarah on the telephone. She was actually surprised that Nellie remembered to tell Sarah he was on the phone.
Sarah?
She glanced at the door, mumbling,
I knew I should have just left.
What?
He asked, his voice echoing slightly on the cellular.
I said you always send someone if it's an emergency, she lied. Where are you?
At the college, he answered. I'm waiting for the deputy dogs.
He was using their term for the campus security at Grant Tech, the state university at the center of town. She asked, What is it?
I just wanted to see how you were doing.
Fine, she snapped, pulling the papers back out of her briefcase, wondering why she had put them there in the first place. She flipped through some charts, shoving them into the side pocket. She said, I'm late for lunch with Tess. What did you need? He seemed taken aback by her curt tone.
You just looked distracted yesterday, he said. In church.
I wasn't distracted,
she mumbled, flipping through the mail. She stopped at the sight of a postcard, her whole body going rigid. The front of the card showed a picture of Emory University in Atlanta, Sarah's alma mater. Neatly typed on the back beside her address at the children's clinic were the words, Why hast thou forsaken me?
Sarah?
A cold sweat came over her.
I need to go.
Sarah, I...
She hung up the phone before Jeffrey could finish his sentence. Shoving 3 more charts into her briefcase,